How many can say this morning that they are a believer? Hallelujah. If you would pray. Their husbands. You remember that now. easier. Sing song number one with us, would you? In our book, you know, maybe you don't even need it. It's called Just a Closer Walk.
Thank you. God. Let's stand up and pray together as we do each and every Sunday. God's house.
Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory. His kingdom, his power, his glory. Give him praise, church. Our Father in heaven. Responsive reading, Psalm 8. Hallelujah. And know when David wrote this, he wrote it from his heart because he'd been there, done that. He loved God in a way that I pray we all can reach when he wrote this for us. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Hallelujah. When I consider your heavens, Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. You just imagine that. He who created everything loves us this way, cares for us this way. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the pass of the sea. How much of the earth? And whose God is that? Our God. And who does he love? Hallelujah. You can take the love, you can leave the love, you can accept the love and want more. You can draw closer to God because the Bible says, Sergio, when you draw closer to God, he will draw closer to you. Amen. You commit your way to the Lord, Dominic, and he will direct your path. Amen. You love him and he will give you the desires of your heart. You notice that there's one thing first, one little tiny thing. We must take one step. Whether it's one step in faith, whether it's one step in love, whether it's just drawing near, just calling out, we take that step and God does the rest of the work. Amen? I think he's a pretty awesome God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, here it is, honey. I found my song. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's so many different Bibles. And people, I think they get a little confused with the word translation and interpretation, right, Sergio? A translation, understand, is simple. Some of the Bible's been passed down in Greek, some of it's passed in Hebrew, and some of it's been actually changed into Latin and changed into English, amen? And a lot of the language, a lot of the words for the English language, it's a little complicated to find the right word. So the translations of people are trying to find the right word according to the original script, amen? So that they try to make it so you can understand the scripture. Like, and my wife's, in Spanish, they don't ask you what time is it. They ask you what time it is. They ask it, and then you say, it is. So, see, different languages passed down that way have to get through everything to get to the English language. And there's some words that aren't English, like we told you, like the word church, that the word church just simply means gathering. Amen? So, when you read these Bibles, I like the New King James Version. Now, there's people I read online, and I have people who don't care for that version. I like the New King James Version for myself because it gives me a way to read it, and I feel like God is talking to me. The words, some of the words I can't pronounce. Some of the words I don't understand, which makes me go to the dictionary or go to the computer and find out exactly what they mean. And I like that. Some of the other translations will actually try to explain that word in the scripture, and sometimes to me, it just makes it a little longer. Sometimes I get lost. I lose the spirit. And that's just me. You might like a different one, and see, that's God talking to you. Amen? Now, in the New King James Version, there's some words in italics. You know what that means? It means, when the word is in italic, it means the person who put it there is telling you, this word we added. We added this word just to make the sentence flow. It might be a little word, but they put it there so that when you read the sentence, it starts to make sense to you. Amen? Because God wants this word to reach you here. And if you read it with these thous and the other ways that they, and it doesn't touch you, then what good does reading the word do? Amen? How many know when you were kids, I know that we have a Bible on the table. What did your mother and father tell you? Don't touch that. Okay. Must be some secret in there. And then when you opened it up and you saw the writing, and it wasn't how your mother and father talked. It wasn't how your teacher talked. You say, I can't understand this. Just recently, I bought for the church 10 books of Proverbs. That's all it is. It's a paperback book, all in Proverbs. I think I've given one away. I did not know that it was in the old English. These, thous, and I started to read it, and I said, I can't understand it. I go to my Bible and I read Proverbs, and it's like God's talking to me the way my ears need to hear it. Amen. So when you hear, now interpretation is different, and you got to understand, some people try to interpret what the Bible is saying. Amen. They might interpret a parable, or they may, like we talked last week about Revelation. Remember we talked last week about Revelation? Some people try to tell you they understand exactly what it says. They interpret what God is saying, even though John didn't understand, and we know that it's to the future. So I always tell you, and I tell you from the pulpit because I'm your teacher, I just want you to beware of anybody who tells you they understand completely everything that they read in the Bible. Amen. But they can interpret it in ways that control the conversation or control what they're trying to build. Amen. The Bible says simply, the simplicity of who? Christ. Amen. When you read this word, it's between you and God. You find that avenue that draws you closer to God. Amen. And the way that you understand. So interpretation and translation is totally, I like the translation of the New King James Version. You might meet somebody who says they don't care for it at all. I say, that's fine. But I'm reading God's word. Amen. And it's getting into my heart. And I wanted to just show you, there's so much talk, and it's probably been so many generations, Elder Pat, everybody's talking about the end time. When is Jesus coming back? Anybody ever talk about when is Jesus coming back? Well, we're seeing wars, and we're seeing earthquakes, and this must be the time, and people are worried. The Bible says even the angels in heaven do not know. And it says not to be concerned about the end of time. But people are still, oh, I want to know. Oh, it's got to be now. I want you to listen to what it says here in Matthew. Jesus said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then he says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. If you knew when Jesus was coming, you'd get everything in order. You'd get on your knees, ask for this. You'd get yourself so set for God. Amen. Like the master of the house. But listen to this last part. And there's four words. Listen to these four words. Therefore, and God is saying, Jesus says, therefore, that's it. Therefore, you also be ready. Who? You. Be what? All right. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour. And here's the four words that take all you thinking. Everybody's saying the time is close. Listen to these four last words. The testimony of God. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You do not what? So if you expect it, it's going to be a time when you just think everything is fine. Not bad. Somebody's going to start preaching. An antichrist is going to start changing the world with words that are against God. And it's going to be accepted. It's going to be a time of peace because people will have that false peace that comes from Satan. Amen? Not from God. The four words from Jesus. Let me just tell you them again. You do not expect. Amen? And that's the testimony of God. He's saying today, on this day, August 21st, love me. He's saying today, tell others about me today. Take your life. Call your family. Call your children. If you haven't talked to your children, send them a text. Send them an email. Say, I love you. Do all you can do that God would want you to do. Remember how many days you walked without God. How many places you took God that he didn't come with you. The years that you never called on him. Amen. And he never forsake you. He was right there with you. And when you turned, there he was. Amen. We got to be like that. We got to be like that for our friends and our families. Amen. Amen. We got to be ready. We got to be ready because this time is our time. This is your Bible time for you to write your name in this book. So 25 years from now, they talk in Derby about the Second Congregational Church over there, how it changed Derby. How it changed people's lives. Not the pastor. Amen? Not the pastor. Say that with me. Not the pastor, but the Word of God. Somebody in there was telling them something. They went off in their life to their job, to their family, and things around them started to change. Their faith started to grow. Life became, people who were their enemies became their friends. People wanted to be, you say, this is impossible. Exactly, because that's how our God works. Amen. That's the testimony of God. This is your day. So don't worry about things that God told you not to worry about. And don't let yourself get caught up in the things of the world. Get yourself caught up in God. Let Him take care of the things of the world. Brother George, you know my heart. I've known you since I didn't even know that you were going. So God never laid it on my heart. So God knows. And I know. And Miss Elaine, we'll get you through this. Next week you'll be here and you'll tell everybody like you always do the wonderful stories you have about the nurse that was nice to you. Sorry, ladies, like that. But he's going through something today, and we need to keep him strong, amen? And the only way to do it is with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Give God praise. That's the testimony. So, Lord, this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the prayer. This is the day that was not promised yesterday. I will simply rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, hear my prayer, Lord, that the church would understand and everyone would feel that this is the day to be happy. This is the day to have the joy and the peace that heals you for tomorrow. This is the day to have that joy that heals your family, to call somebody you haven't spoke to, tell somebody, hey, God loves you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We got warriors out there. We got so many people out there ready to go. Ready to go. Reach the sick. Reach them. This is our day to reach the sick. To lift each other up. You come to church on Sunday, and with God's word, you should be lifted higher than you thought possible. Each week, something inside you should be changed because you remove something and let God fill that. That makes you stronger. Oh, it does. And it just gives the praise to God. In Jesus' name I pray, this is the day we shall rejoice. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, guys, don't get too crazy about thinking he's just going to call you. As I said, Deacon Chuck and myself have a bride that outfish us. So God is not just calling men to be fishermen. They're calling the women to be fisherwomen, whatever you want to say. Would you answer the call? George Marsh, you're a fisherman. God called you in the middle of the Housatonic River and said, follow me. Would you follow him? Maybe not before, but I think you would now. See, God doesn't call the smart and the high and the mighty. He calls those that have a humble heart ready to receive. Amen? He's calling fishermen, people who are working for a living, who understand what life is like. And he called them, and they heard the word. And we're going to talk about one person in special today. We're going to talk about Peter. I want you to understand how much you have in common with Peter, amen? And there'll be some things we'll talk about that you might find a little controversial. How many like that? I like that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to talk about Peter and our lives. Amen? I love when we read the Bible and we talk about things in the Bible and people of the Bible that somehow it just makes you feel like we're talking about you. Can I get an amen? Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, where did he come? He taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house." What does that have to do with you? Amen. Being rejected by those that knew him. Amen. Those that knew him rejected him because they knew his family. Amen. People have rejected me because I was 15 years in another church. They saw me rise up, become a deacon, and when I told them I was a pastor, they didn't get it. They rejected me. Elder Pat was 20 years in that church. When we met some people at the church last year, I said, "This is our elder." They didn't get it. Amen. But Elder Pat gets it. Amen. Being rejected by your friends is something you need to expect, and your family. It took 2 years for my sister-in-law to understand what we were doing here, building a church unto God. And then I started getting the respect from my family and some of my friends. Amen. But being rejected is something that you need to expect. Amen. Friends will reject you. But listen, but say that with me. But God will raise you to be great. You must rise above the rejection to a place where God can and will use you. Amen. You might say today, "I am just a fisherman." And I will say, glory, hallelujah. You're exactly where God can use you. Amen. So today, August 21st, God is calling who? You. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid when you start to tell somebody about God that has known you for 20 years saying, "This God's crazy. This guy's crazy." The more you're consistent, trust me, because I've been there, I've lived there, the more that you let them know that you're for real, they'll start to call you. Hey, Larry, what do you think of this? Hey, Larry, we had a friend of ours last year call me to bless puppies. His dog had a litter of puppies, and my friend, who I've known for 25 years, called me and said, "Could you come down and bless the puppies?" Amen. He would have never done that. He was serious. Boy goes to church every week. He goes to a church every week, and he was serious. And that made my, to think that he would ask me, right, John? He called me to bless the puppies. So don't be, you know, you get rejection, that's the normal thing. But you just stay focused, and your son and your daughter, your family and your friends, amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now we're together. All right. Here we go. Immediately, when? I like that. Good. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself. Who do we go with? To pray. Jesus went to talk to his Father. And when you pray, you know, the Bible says it's not a reciting, you know, "Our Father, our Father, our Father." No, it's sitting down and talking to your Father in a place where you're alone. Jesus, by himself, to pray. That's your conversation. That's time alone with God. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, wherever that time is, I pray that you have it every day, even if it's 10 minutes, where you can stop your brain from thinking and just talk to God and let him show you something, especially if you're reading the Word. He will do that. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves. I love this, Jim. Listen. Tossed by waves, and for the wind was contrary. That's New Hampshire. That's a Maine word. That's a Maine. That's Sergio. If you ever go to Maine, when something is strange up there, they'll say it's contrary. And you might say, "What's he talking about?" And when I saw that in the Bible, God made me laugh. Amen. I said, "I know that. That's Maine." So Jesus must have been to Maine one time, anyway. But he said, "For the wind was contrary." Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I bet it was. You ever out on Lake Quassapug and I see somebody walking across the water, I'm going to be a little crazy. And they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter, who? Answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter had to come down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. But when he saw, say that word saw, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he just saw it. He became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, listen to this, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, who? Good. Like us, take our eyes off of God. How many know that's true? Come on. When a wind blows, trouble comes, whatever the reason, and when we sink into the waves. Amen? How many times, like Peter, has God lifted you up? Faith, listen to what faith is. It's a muscle that is made to grow. Faith can grow, amen? How many realize that? Your faith actually grows. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, anybody who works out, Dominic, you work out, you know, the more you use it, the stronger you become. Your arms, hallelujah. And it's made, the more we use it, the more we see it in our lives. Whose lives? Yeah, because I'm talking to you. The stronger that faith becomes, then we can begin to do great things for God and for those we love the most. You have people in your heart, amen, who you love so much. You want to do great things for them, amen. When your faith is stronger, when you're really sure and standing on the rock, you can do great things for them because you lift them up, amen. You lift up your children, amen. We can't let the waves of life make us start sinking. But I know we got a God that we say, Lord, help me. He reaches down and helps us, amen. But that was Peter, see? Peter, no different than you, amen? I know, George, you wouldn't get on Lake Quassapaq and start walking across it, but see, that's Peter, and that's us, amen, Mary? That's us. But God is telling, yeah, that's a story of him, but that's a story of us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, folks, here's where a little controversy might start, because I've talked to other people from other religions, And I know that we need to be in one accord, amen? They were in one accord. And I know that the different religions teach different things for whatever reason. But here's where, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah. Or they say one of the other prophets. He said to them, and he says to you today, Second Congregational, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter asked and said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I also say that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Death, nothing will be able to prevail itself against God. Can I get an amen? The gates of Hades, death can't. Now listen to what he said. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You know how simple this is to explain? Bar-Jonah. The word is passed down from Greek and Hebrew. The word bar, B-A-R, simply means son of. I don't know why the Bible. So it's Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Amen. It would be George, son of Marsh, or the first name. Whatever. But you understand, that's how simple. When you say, I don't understand what that means, when you know what it means, all of a sudden something else gets cleared up. Amen. So the word Bar-Jonah, see, he's telling, and he's calling him who? Simon Bar-Jonah. And then he says something. He says, my Father is in heaven, gave that to you. Flesh and blood didn't. And he says, you are Peter. Now the word Peter in Greek is Petros, and Petros means rock. Amen? So he's saying, you are a rock. That faith that you have, Peter, listen to me, that faith that you have has made you a rock for me. You stand strong. You know who I am. And I'm going to build on that Petros. Amen? And that Petros, he's a rock. Hebrew, I believe, is Cephas, C-E-P-H-A-S. That means stone, amen? The translation in his name means stone. So God is telling Peter that your faith, you're that rock, I'm going to build on that. I'm going to use that rock and build the church, amen? But Peter is not, say that with me, not the chief cornerstone, amen? He is not who God builds the church on. And if you go somewhere else, they're going to tell you that. Well, you can discuss it with them. I'm just telling you what the Bible tells you. Some people tell us that Peter was actually the first pope. And I will say, well, you need to believe that. If that, but I'm telling you what the Bible says, amen, that Peter was like we are. And he said, I'm going to build on your faith, amen, not on Peter, because Peter's a what? A man, just like who? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Say, well, I don't know, Pastor Larry. I've heard other people's, you know.
And that's where other religions coming together to be one religion actually just makes me worried. Amen. And I'm going to go to Acts. Listen to this. Then Peter, who? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. He did what? So Peter is saying this. Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you. This is the stone which rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And he goes on to say, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under which heaven given among men by which we are and must be saved. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Peter is saying that Jesus is the stone that was rejected, the chief cornerstone. Anybody that's a builder understands how important the chief cornerstone is. Amen. Jesus talking to Peter said, you're a rock. That faith, because God showed you that faith, I'm going to build a church and I'm going to put all those stones in that church. You're a rock, you're a stone, you're a pebble that I can build a church on. Faith in who? Hallelujah. Faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now this is right after. From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day, then Peter, who? Took him aside. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that shall not happen to you. Listen to how he takes care of somebody out of the Word of God. Listen to what he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. So many things come between the church and people because they start being mindful of what? Man, instead of who? God. And listen to how Jesus, he knows how important this is. And he says right to Peter, who? Peter, the one he just called the rock, get behind me, Satan. He called him Satan. And he understood, listen to this. Understand this. Jesus was not mad at Satan, amen? Mad at Peter. He wasn't mad at Peter. He wasn't upset because he understood that there was a spirit inside Peter, that spirit that made him feel that way, that was not from God, amen? And he wanted to take care of that. But understand, he loves Peter. He understood, but he took care of that, amen? He could not let that happen. He could not let that fester, amen? He couldn't let it grow because he had to tell him, amen? And imagine what Peter must have felt when the Jesus standing there, who he loves, said, get behind me, Satan. But Jesus knew it wasn't Peter. He had nothing but love. He understood it was a spirit. Hallelujah. You're not mindful of things of God, but the things of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who are we talking about today? Now we're talking about you two. Amen. This is all about you two. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, how many? Will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter, who? Answered and said to him, even if all of you, today we're made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, not three times, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of his disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. Not me, Lord. Even if everybody else in the church, but not me, Lord. No, I'm with you. Hallelujah. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Imagine that. He called Judas, friend, why have you come? Then he came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Hallelujah. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you, I love this, do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Hallelujah. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Now, I didn't mention who took the sword, amen? But you go to John, you know what John tells you who took the sword? Gigan? Peter. It was Peter who took the sword out and cut off the centurion's ear. Actually, it wasn't a centurion, because John also tells us his name was Malchus, M-A-L-C-H-U-S. That was his name. John tells us the name of the man whose ear got cut off. Now Luke, who? Luke goes even further and tells us it was a servant of the high priest. You see, that I love these Gospels. When you start reading, you see these things and you say, yeah, they're kind of writing the same thing, but they see different things, amen? And they tell us. That's why you read them. If you all wrote something and you saw it today, I guarantee you next Sunday when I read it, somebody will say, I didn't see that. I didn't see the person walking in the park over there. I didn't see, you know. And so that's how these Gospels really help you and come together, amen? Are you with me? So Luke tells us, and here's something else in Luke, that this is Jesus, amen? Listen to what Luke tells us to Jesus. Jesus says, permit even this, and Jesus healed the servant's ear, amen? You read that in Luke. You don't read that in John and Mark and Matthew, amen? Because Luke is the physician. Luke is the doctor. He's the one that really in tune with facts, wanting to tell you about Jesus, amen? And Luke says, Jesus looked at that man and said, permit even this, and Jesus healed the servant's ear. Can you imagine? No, you can't. What that servant must have felt like. He's down there to get this guy. They're going to arrest him. Somebody takes a sword, cuts off his ear, and the man that they're going to arrest walks over and says, permit me even this. And he heals his ear. I bet he never got up. I bet he just stayed there. I bet he didn't go back with the... How could he? This man that everybody was going after has just done some miracle to him that nobody's ever seen before. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why we read all four Gospels, the good news. That's what the Gospel means, the good news. Permit me even this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. Who did? And a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Listen to what Peter, the rock, did, amen? Then he began to curse and swear. It's in the Word of God. He's telling us that the blood that flows through Peter is just like the one that flows through you. Amen? He's no different than you. He began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And listen to this little sentence. So he went out and he wept bitterly. His pain, his sorrow. The one he loved the most, Jesus, the one he knew that was the Son of God, that he would die with him. He would not forsake him. He would stand there in death, realized what he had just done. And his heart must have been beyond broken. His sadness, the Bible simply says he wept bitterly. Amen? wept bitterly, denying faith, hiding. Sometimes we do that. We do that around our friends. Sometimes we'll do that at different places. We'll hide our faith. We'll fear that somebody might mock us for praying in public at the restaurant. Somebody might laugh at us. We want to fit in. Amen? I don't want to fit in. I want to fit in with God. I want people to see that I love God. That's what I want to fit in. I want them to see that. I don't want to hide my faith. I don't want to be afraid that somebody says, oh, you prayed in public, you offended me. I say, well, God bless you. Hallelujah. Because I love him. I don't want to be where I leave later and I say, you know, I wish I had prayed. I wish I had told some. I just wish that, Lord, I love you enough that I wouldn't even be afraid to pray or say, God bless you to the lady at Walmart. I don't want to be that person. I want to be proud that I love him. I want people to know that they can talk to me because they'll get goodness. Amen. They'll get good news. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got to go from Matthew to the book of John because the story kind of goes along with the sermon today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The angels, Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Mary the mother of James, went to the tomb. And they wanted to put fragrance and scents on the tomb, on Jesus. They were worried about how they were going to open the tomb because there's a rock, amen? But when they got to the tomb was open. And they walked in, and there was nobody there except somebody dressed all in white. It was an angel, amen? And the angel tells them that you're looking for Jesus. He's risen, amen? He has risen. And he tells the angels this, go tell all the disciples to meet in Galilee, and they will see him. But he says this, go tell all the disciples and Peter. And Peter. Why? Why do you think? Because God, amen, Jesus knows the pain that Peter's in. Understand? I get goosebumps. Listen, he knows the pain, Marcia. He said, go get all the disciples. That includes Peter, amen? But he said, no, and Peter, amen? Because God knows your pain. He knows your pain. And when I read that, I said, yeah, Lord, you know the agony that Peter is in, amen? You know the agony that Peter is in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah. You notice, he's not even calling him Peter right now, amen? Peter's not the rock right now because Peter's hurting. Peter's lost. Peter's got this pain. So he's calling him Simon. He's calling him by his surname. He says, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I will simply close with this second congregational. If you love him as much as I do, and y'all said you did this morning, if you love him, I will tell you what God has told Peter. Feed his sheep. There's people out there lost. I will tell you what Jesus told us, James. Tend to the sheep. When you see somebody, bring them to God. Amen. When you're out there, feed the lambs. Amen. Give them the good news. Be what Peter is. Amen. Be what God told Peter to do. Because here at Second Congregational, we love who? We love him and we want to serve him and we want to bring others to the joy that we have. And we want to be like Peter. Understand, Peter is a fisherman. God called this fisherman to be a fisher of men. And he's calling you today. This church will grow in mighty ways. And not only the church, but your life will grow the more you let people see the God in you. Give them praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to be ready. Amen. I want to be ready. I don't worry about the time and the season. I want to be ready now. I want to let people know that I love God. I'm not ashamed to tell people. I'm not ashamed to pray in public. I'm not ashamed to give somebody the Word of God to help them. Hallelujah. And I thank Jesus for all that He's done for us. I give Him the praise and the glory. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the reason why this church will be on fire before Him for the love of God. Hallelujah. As He took the bread and blessed and broke it, and He told His disciples, this is His body being torn for us. He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him, and we shall this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, Lord. Between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The more you praise Him, the easier it becomes. The more you tell somebody about Him, the easier it becomes. The more you hug somebody, the easier it becomes. Thank you, Lord. The more you say, I love you to somebody, the easier it becomes. Don't hide those emotions of love that are from God. Don't hide that heart. Let it shine. The more you pray in public in a restaurant, the easier it becomes. You'll see that someday when you're sitting at the table that people will be waiting, and you'll look around and realize they're waiting for you to pray. They're waiting for the prayer. Hallelujah. They might not tell you, you might not see it the way you think you should, but it's touching their lives and their hearts. Especially when they're alone, when they can really just talk to God and see for themselves. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You can ask God to bring people into your life that are hungry for the Word, but you must lead them when He does. And you must be able to tell them when He does. Be ready. Thank you, Lord. Not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. For all He's done for us, He simply asks us to do this in remembrance of Him, in Jesus' name. Somebody might feel this morning you're not worthy to receive. I would simply ask you to tell God, forgive you for your iniquities this week. Tell God to come into your heart. Tell God that you want to know more, to help you, to see more, and partake for what Jesus has done in our lives. He took the wine, poured it into a cup, said, my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Accept that grace, and receive the Lord. Say, Lord, help me today. Show me the way today, Lord. That I may walk with you, Lord. I have children who need you. I have grandchildren who need you. I have friends who need you, Lord. For the only way that I can reach them is for me to be strong in you. Not part-time. Thank you, Lord. Let the the winds hit you and be afraid. Don't let the waves hit you and be afraid. Stand strong. He's right there with you. Use what faith you have, and then call on somebody who has greater faith to lift you through. Call on the elder. Call on Elder Pat. Her faith will raise you up. And the more you look up, the more you see God, your faith will be where you can help others each and every day. We all need the prayers. We all need the love. We all need the forgiveness. We all need the comfort, because we're strong together. We're not satisfied with today. We're looking at the impossible, and that comes from God. We need to be strong and focused. We're looking for the impossible in this church, not for the pastor, not for you, but for the people who are hungry in this town, in this city, and the state to be blessed. We're calling on the impossible, and we're calling in the right place. You've dialed the right number. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For those who come through this door on Sundays and come to this door at Bible study, thank you, Lord, for those blessings. For the deacon doing the Bible study, Lord, make him stronger. Show him things, Lord, he never even knew before each week that he can share. The blessings that he's pouring out. And when they leave, Lord, let them carry those blessings to others. As we feed them, Lord, let them feed others. Keep our feet humble and our hearts ready to receive. Thank you, Lord. 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 How the Reverend used to say, thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you now for the answer to those prayers. We thank you now for the healings, Lord, and the blessings. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Give him praise, church. Let the whole town hear you. You're no different than Peter, no different than Noah, Joseph, Abraham. This is your time to be those people, amen? God will give you the desires of your heart. You got to trust him. Hallelujah.